Well, I don't know what I'm doing. I know I'm here because I'm just 35 and he didn't have his little brother on here. You know, and that's the only reason, you know. How many of y'all are preachers now? I see a lot of y'all around, all around. I see all these devils all getting back where you belong. I believe that about being nice to people. Well, I do the best I could. I thought this sermon was coming tonight. This is the class. So if I get through and if I can, I don't mind question and answer in here. You know, I don't mind doing question and answer because I've learned the secret is to say, I don't know. I quite often at Portland we do question and answer, or AC and I get up to answer when I say I haven't the foggiest. You know, and if they don't have a good answer sometimes, you know, I don't know. I'll try to do my best, look it up, and help you and all. So what's the pressure? If you can say, I don't know, we can do any kind of question answer. Well, I probably are confused on everything that comes with the age, you know. But I was doing a kind of preacher study for yourself, and I kind of approached it from the idea and the way of letting all men grow in men, because that's part of it, and that's part of the problem today. I remember Mary and Taylor from Southwest came down to visit to look at our kind of annex. He had ideas for theirs, and he left, but as he usually does, Jerry, one more thing, just always remember to tell him, don't throw in men. Now, I think he's right. I see it more all the time. But sometimes we do, and we compare, and it just seems like sometimes we talk so much about men. And I think we ought to do it the other way, as best we can. A little boy was told by his daddy one time, he said, son, when Napoleon was your age, he was the top of his class. And the little boy said, honestly, father, when he was your age, he was emperor. You know, you can get an idea of it. Glory in men really doesn't mean that much. I went to the dude ranch one time, a dude ranch for children, trying to get through high school, I guess. But anyway, we went to the ranch, we had a real wrangler, and we'd bring the horses out and drive them, but we needed one of our high school students kind of work with him, and he really was one of my best friends, and I noticed after a little while, my friend started kind of dressing like this wrangler. And then of all things, I noticed he kind of began to walk like that wrangler, and talk like that wrangler. And of course we noticed that, and there's no problem in all of that. It would be hard enough, hard enough tabernacle sermons I never got to hear, but I hear it was really, really good for us. He had a habit, I heard from O.J. Russell, he would kind of be talking and he'd put his thumbs in his pocket. I never saw this, maybe some of y'all know that. But he'd come up and every once in a while like that, he'd say, can you hear me in the balcony? And we're crying all. And one of those, they called him the preacher boys, you know, the F.B. Hardman, he got his thumbs in his pocket. And he took the thing I look. He was successful, not because his thumbs were in his pocket, but right there. I kind of like, and I kind of feel this way about myself, if you don't mind me saying it, any lectureship, anything like this that would have me on it, is the kind of one I don't think I'd want to go to. But anyway, all the stuff about blowing and men and all that, when it gets into the church, it's dangerous business. Serious. And people do glory in men. And preachers do it too. And so sometimes an issue will arise sounding who will work with each other. And you get enough security, you know, well, we don't want to do that. And I think it's rare, maybe, but there's that confession. Be aware of that. And then doctrine becomes secondary sometimes. And we allow false teachers to come in and they begin to concentrate on impressing the brethren, pleasing the brethren, licking the brethren's boots. I'm from Texas, if you don't mind a few of those. But nevertheless, that becomes important to the brethren rather than what? The Word of God. And it can replace it. The hair's done just right. And they don't know what the brother wants, and they scripture don't say find out. And so it's a serious business. I can talk a little about that a little bit, but I've noticed in some of the problems we've had in the brotherhood that sometimes it's because they have a cadre around them who don't care about truth. It's a matter of, well, they're icons. He told me about someone I had to debate. He said, yeah. He says, do you know they name their children after them? They dedicate books to them. And it's true, people walk like them and dress like them. And the peculiar way they dress, you know, I know that when I started explaining the doctrine to them, they were the hardest to get to understand it. They dress like them. Let no man glory in me. If you're offended, don't be. I hate everyone. There's a word for that. Listen, bro. I'm practicing right now to learn to hate people I've never even met. And it's what they call. It's very hard. I'm glad some of you laughed. Some of y'all, you know, I said stuff like that before I had a high school. Is she serious? And I did get to teach because, you know, things work out like that. I taught 5 years in a inner city school, and I do things like that, and I took them. And you can have a little fun, you know, in there with them. I have a topic for this, I guess, I suggest. I'm going to do a call to the book. You know, you folks start off with an attention getter. Wasn't much, but I did my best. And then I went to the topic for this. And so I guess I'd say, I'm going to talk about how we ought to study for ourselves and let no man glory in me. I'll do the best I can on 1 Corinthians 3:21. As a previous statement, I might say we're going to try to take a little bit of look at the problem at Corinth. We're going to look at some warnings that we have along the line of glorying in men. And then we're going to look at an alternative mindset, and we'd like to take a look at Paul's attitude about this. And then we're going to be directing our mind toward about 7 other things. Now, we're going to direct our mind toward Scott's word and what it says about this. I'll try to move on. But Corinth, they did have a problem. And you know it. You read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, now the feast of brethren, that y'all keep the same things, and that there be no divisions among you. You be perfected together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And they were having great difficulties there, 1 Corinthians 1:10-11. He explains, now, this I mean, and you heard it from a woman, that's feminine, Chloe. But anyway, I hear that there's divisions among you. And some of you say, I'm the Paul, I'm the Apollos, I'm the Cephas, I'm Christ. And so Paul begins to talk about that. It's the thing, I think the way we did it. Was Paul crucified, Peter? Was he baptized into the name of Paul? Well, by the way, that is an argument on water baptism, the essentiality of water baptism that's never been answered. I belong to Christ. Well, there are two essential things then. Were you crucified for everyone? No. Were you baptized into their name? No. Was Christ crucified for you? To be belong to him, to be everyone, you know, Genesis, to belong to him? Yes. Were you baptized into his name? No. Did you have belong to him? I've read it in debates before. As a matter of fact, some of the Baptists use that, the belief in baptism for the remission of sins that's never been answered. That's all it's that, is that how you take that? Okay, well, that's one thing flying by, but nevertheless, that is fly. Paul has some questions, and so he begins to warn them of some things. And here's the warning. For the word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us it's the power of God. He can say, where's the wonder? Where's the pride? Where's the good people of this world? You know, talking to these Greeks, that's good language. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For things that in the wisdom of God, the world is its wisdom, you not God. It was God's good pleasure to the foolishness of preaching. or the same priest, you can read, to the same priest to save them that believe. What did priests got to do it? Put out the back of those who are haughty and, you know, just roll a little bit and die a little deeper and come up a little dry and everybody else. They jump high and come down slow. The scholars and theologians and all of that. I like to read, you know, about the several of you preachers said, well, I remember Barbara saying this. It kind of thrills me that some of you remember Barbara, but she did make a statement and it's right around. You know, if I come back in another life, I'd like to come back as a book. Well, yeah, I'd rather her say I'd come back as a Bible, you know. But she has said that. But I like to read, and I read a lot of the just instead of reading, I guess, and I read some philosophers, and I read about them. You know, if I were you, you look back there and come up back there later on, and some that I've heard, they all feel an atheist had his baby talking where I was. Nevertheless, he said he's only 99% sure he existed. See, man, that makes a good choice. The bank of paper, one of our elders said, when you heard that. But nevertheless, I not only said, I might not exist, you just put your senses in and do it, I never exist. And evidently, they did walk off the cliff, and this Peter called grabbing back and pulling away, and then set his feet for him. Have you ever heard something that a lot of things sound good until they have a collision with a fact? One day he was walking along, and this true story, it's not one of your preacher stories, but he was walking along, and his people behind him, Mike, would that be what maybe Jesus meant when he said, get thee behind me, Satan? You're my adversary. I'm the teacher. You're supposed to follow behind me, you know? But nevertheless, they're following along behind. He was attacked by this great, gigantic, mean, and mad, angry dog. And the screams were proficient, you know, they were seriously heard. And the blood flowed, and the pills, and the mangled, and all, and got back to school. And he apologized to him for acting as if he were really existed, you know. But nevertheless, one said, evidently Thomas Warren, I heard him when he debated flute, he said, you know, these atheists like to say a lot of cute little things, but they all get off the railroad track when the train comes. Nevertheless, from that, I learned that all. Let no man glory in men. And you know in this lesson that I'm going to give and the same kind of stuff, you better check them out. I tell my brethren that all the time. Watch out for me. Hey, see, I take that attitude also. Be something to go to heaven and you're standing before God and he's asking you for something and you go, well, Jerry Moffat said it. And God, surely you listen to him. I mean, you've got to know that for yourself. Now, you know, I had a lot of admiration for a lot of people whose scholarship better than their doctrine. Adam Clark sometimes that way, but in one place, you better check me out on this. I understand in Genesis, he takes the position that that is not a serpent. And he establishes it by going into cognate languages and extended usages and metaphorical usages and all of that, and he comes up with the solution that he was, evidently that serpent there was really not a serpent, it was an orangutan. Well, it really bothered me, it really worried me, because I turned out of mind all the children of Israel out there with all those fiery orangutans. Same word. Hey man, same word. Come to us and speak in your tent. Oh, look out, look at all those fiery orangutans coming in. No wonder, you know. But nevertheless, there ain't no need to worry in there. And that's what Simon said. I mean, you know, it's almost in everybody's library and all of that. Well, nevertheless, who do you enjoy when there's an alternative false of deep preached times and him crucified? Unto Jesus, the circling block. Unto Gentiles, foolishness. But unto them that are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God would be called, but and he goes on, really, he says, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the wisdom of God is, as the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and so forth. So, 1 Corinthians 1:18. I think that was 1 Corinthians 1 would give us good context. But you've got a good choice there. If you just take the choice Paul had, let no man glory in him. Well, why? Christ. We preach Christ and him crucified. Good choice? He laid down his life for me. I can't see very many of you I'd want to do that for. That was a great thing. Greater love hath no man than this. We should all feel this way, shouldn't we? That a man laid down his life for his friends. And he said, therefore, that Father loved me because I laid down my life. That I might take it again. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment received back from my Father. He laid down his life for me. Well, why did he do that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. John 3:16, Leviticus, John 10:17 and 18. So that's a good choice, Christ and him crucified. Who is, according to Paul, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn, using that term by way of preeminence, the firstborn of all creation, prophet John 15. And again, by him were all things created in the heavens and upon the earth, things visible and things invisible, with the thrones and dominions, the principalities, the powers, all things were created through him and unto him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Colossians 1:16-17, that whole context there. Consists with the word being held together, adheres together. Some of our members play golf so much they have an interlocking grip when they play. I accuse them of that anyway. But it means held together. I heard an Irishman one time say, here's the best explanation I know. My eyes couldn't do that. They'd all fall apart and cry away if it wasn't for Christ's word. Holds all things by the word of his power. And it just seems like that nearly all of us, I'm sure I'm guilty of anything I say today. It's just hard to see yourself, you know. But we're like a people that just like to talk, eat, drink, breathe, and live people. And so that's a trick. You know, in Texas, we have a, you want to know what's on TV, and that's all I do. I talk to sleep around and watch TV and you know, stuff like that. But nevertheless, I hope you, no, that proves I'm teasing. But they have a channel, 23, and you have to look at it, and it slowly grinds through up on every channel. And they've got something on there. I finally just turned the volume off before, because they're over there, and they're going like this. You see the way her nose looks. And what those ears are, the perfect type for her ears, and they just bring that in, and the pink. Now that highlights her skin. Hey, I disagree. I would like to see this part, but the nose, but the pink highlights, and it's man talking. Jamie and I went in the booth for getting my haircut one time before walking and wanted a prepare curls. I said, Jamie, by the time you're his age, you'll be wearing makeup. And he said, I will not. You know? So can you get a wonder? I remember a guy when I was in preacher school that had a real problem. How can all these people, these smart people that wrote all these books, how can they all be wrong? Yeah, I never know an answer at the time. You know, I knew that there was an answer, but how can all these smart people be wrong? It's because of their heart. The word of God does not and is not intended to penetrate a keen intellect. It's intended to penetrate a honest and a good heart. And so, scholarship is a matter really to me of the heart. The most enjoyable quote I've ever heard. I heard it back in about 67, 1867 or maybe 1967, first started preaching. And anyway, I didn't know what had happened to me because I went to a mission work up in Vermont. Bob and I, and I had a fight all the time. And I read a book called Acting Loose by Ira Lassa. That's it! That's what I'm going through! And then he had a little quote I'll never forget. But you know, it's an important passage. Jesus coming into the parts of Caesarea Philippi. And he asked his disciples, who the men say that the Son of Man is? And they said, Simon, son of Elijah, son of John the Baptist, or who's Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said, but who say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, he chopped, ledge of rock, the foundation of that good confession. But nevertheless, that I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth, when her place of it for a little bit, shall have already been bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall have already been loosed in heaven. That's one of the reasons we don't listen to men. We listen to Jesus Christ. He's the Messiah. And it's bound and loosed in heaven. But God said that had Peter gone to some of Jesus, Peter rather gone to some of our missionary schools or some of our theological schools, or just not near almost any of our colleges or whatever, he would have read maybe like this. But who shall ye that I am? And the Apostle Peter answered and said, thou art the Messianic Parousia. Thou art the pre-existent Logos. Thou art the eschatological anticipation of the cosmos. And Jesus answered and said unto him, let no man glory in men. Oh no, that's considered God. I tell you, I really enjoyed some tapes I had recently watching the universe and all really to compute evolution in a teacher class and hopefully a special class at Portland. But I really enjoy these tapes. You know, we're a star and we're one of the stars, but we're circling it, and it circles itself, really. And it's in our galaxy, and it circles. But a galaxy is an estimate of 100 billion suns or stars like we have. 100 billion. And they estimate now that the old Hubble, not the Hubble telescope, but the Hubble that built that telescope that was so big and found out that what we thought the stars were really galaxies, and they estimate now that the universe, and by the way, I believe God did create this universe 2,000 years ago, made full grown. Light from those humans, those other galaxies already reached us, you know. Made full grown man and woman to replenish the earth. And the seed in the Garden of Eden, they had fruit already on it, and seed in the tree. But nevertheless, that's a little section of the rabbit there, but I didn't want to leave a misunderstanding. But they say that they estimate that there are at least, maybe even tried by the pounds and tons to figure out what the universe weighs. Isn't it amazing? I could have done it, but I don't mess with that kind of stuff. Mathematics. John Bill's a mathematics person in the family. But nevertheless, 100 billion galaxies. Each with 100 billion stars. 100 billion trillion stars in this universe, and it's probably not. That's an estimated guess there. Scripture says he counteth all the stars. He calleth them all by their names. 100 billion trees. I don't want to talk about human beings and glory in men, do you? Psalm 137 verse 4. And of God it says, who is like Jehovah our God that has his feet on high, that humbleth himself to behold the things in the heavens and in the earth? Again, Psalm 113, verse 5 and 6. In other words, when he's going to look in the universe, he has to humble himself to even look. I'd rather glory in God
and try to think more about God than people. Even my own brethren, you know, with all due respect, all my own preachers. I'd rather study for myself. One time I was going to have to do a written debate with James Bale, and I knew that time before I had a book out on it already. I made a deliberate attempt to never even look at his book. It might influence me somehow. I might use the same one. Maybe they can get something different, maybe general, but they can get something different from me. But honestly, I'd rather go to heaven and face God's judgment day, and if I'm lost, it's my fault, and I didn't get there by listening to human beings. We can be influenced in so many crazy ways. One time I was driving home from college, and this up there with those mangy dog thing, and it goes like this. And the boy was just over here, I was yawning. I'd rather read some original church sources. I listen to my brethren, but they're not the gospel. I want to read what they say, and I still don't want to cast off those ancient restoration brethren, because they were fighting like we all have accepted Christianity. But nevertheless, I want to read the original sources as best I can. I want to have my library. I don't know. I learned from Johnny Ramsey, and it makes sense to me, a lot of it. I just had a reference book. One thing I sure don't have, and Johnny made a good impression on me here. I never in my life that I know of had a sermon outline book in my office. Now, you know, I see the value of them. You can disagree and you may be right, but I can see the value of them for these poor guys that work 40-hour weeks and rush in kind of preach on weekends and stuff all that. I talk to them. You learn how to vertical file and everything. You can almost lose your Christianity teaching school. Vertical file is putting on, if they ever ask for, I'm preaching that stuff there. I'm sorry, here, I'll get it. The people of the Lord. So nevertheless, God, not better, I think you would be more thankful if I prayed with him, study for myself. And that's what I advise you to do on anything I say today. The denominational doctrines, I told my brother, if you read the back, it almost makes Barbara cry every time, but it's, I'm sincere about it. You study for yourself. Don't believe anything because Daddy believes it. Wouldn't that be horrendous? And I give him a little message, you know, before I die. 147, it could happen in any time. For all of us are become as one unclean, and all our righteousness are as a polluted garment, and our sins like a leaf make us fade away, and our iniquities take us away like a wind. Isaiah 64 verse 4. Let no man glory in them. Study for yourself. Don't get crippled with pressure. We tell that to people that get out of that wheelchair. You know? So that's what's driving. Now reason the time when y'all see teachers, we tell the brethren, don't we? Yeah, the teachers, you have needed, again, it's going to teach you of the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of Christ. You have to come first. They have need of milk and not of solid food. For milk is for babes, and that one's just a solid food. It's for full-grown men, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. How many times have you heard young people say, I don't think anything wrong with it? We have our senses exercised in the Word of God to discern good and evil. And Paul had the talk, I believe he wrote Hebrews, but doesn't matter, it's the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 5, verse 14. And so, the Word of God. I was reading a debate one time, J.A. Hardy, debating a Calvinist, and it was on direct operation of the Holy Spirit and all of that, and I would recommend that you collect debates and read them. I guess I felt maybe everyone's different, but I've learned more from controversy that seems like the truth comes up. And even 20-30 years ago, I can remember things he said. But one thing I remember, he said, I want you to know that before this debate, I read the Bible 3 times all the way through this year. And God be with me, I'm going to read the whole Bible. By the way, if you look at that word read, you run into study. You know, it's just hard to look at the word read without seeing study. You're interpreting symbols and language and what the meaning is. But he said, God willing, I hope I'll read the Bible once a year for the rest of my life. Well, that sounds, you know, it's good for me. And I cried in bed for it, too. Read that Bible straight through. She started again. I don't know how many times she's read it through. But I cried. God helped me to read it through once a year. And one time, I did read it 3 times in 1 year. Got fired from 3 different places. But, you know, wherever you are, train station or wherever you are, 5 minutes. Well, did you ever notice that's good. I needed a reminder. It reminds me of an incident, though, with Martha and Mary. You remember, and you know the story, and you know the background. And Martha says, Lord, don't you care that my sister's made me fail alone? Bid her come and help me. I like the way Jesus answered. At this occasion, he didn't have to use strong, negative words like you fools and damned and stuff like that, you know. He answered very, very nicely. This is that concept. You know, there's a time for everything. There's a season for everything. It's Martha, Martha. Thou art anxious and concerned about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. We know a good story there. Here's Luke chapter 10, 42. But by the word of Jehovah were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Just one day or 1 hour in the Bible probably was every book I ever wrote. I don't even believe everything I wrote, much less to y'all being questioned. Just let's go. The little guy is living in action. And sharper than any sword, so piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit. You don't know it. And quick to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Gets in our spirit and comes alive to see our thoughts. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's God's power unto salvation. By the way, in this direct operation of the Holy Spirit, Alexander Campbell does say, and I trust I don't do everything he says. I have to see the word of God and his reasoning. I want to hear his argument, not Campbell, you know. But that way, he says, God is omnipotent, but he's also consistent. And his word is consistent with what he is. And it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's God's power unto salvation. Not some little mysterious incubation of the heart or massaging of the heart directly by the Holy Spirit. Come on and drink it. The word of God. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, says Jehovah. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So the rain from the sun, and the snow from heaven, and water from the earth, and they get to bring forth and bud. I wish it would do that in South Texas, but you know, in South Texas. They get to bring forth and bud. So shall my word be declared forth out of my mouth. I heard a preacher say, you better believe it. That's what I'm going to say next in the word. He says, you better believe it. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall do that which I command. We've got to believe that. Isaiah 65, 9 to 11. Well, let me just give you a shock. I haven't been as negative here today as I'd love to be, Israel, you know. But think about Israel, brother, the day I'm here talking about. You said to read the Bible, theological stone crushing. And then they would say, you need the Bible, or you want to go Bible, quote the Bible, quote the preachers. They didn't have a church building to preach in if it wasn't for those guys. They say, that's Neanderthal theology. And I just say to their thinking, you're going to pay for that someday if you don't change your attitude. People need to be very careful how they talk about the Word of God. And I would say back to them, they're just like the creatures without reason. Born real animals. To be, I know it's a little negative, but Jude was the devil's voice. Born near animals, to be taken and destroyed, wondering in matters where their ignorance shall be in their destroying, surely be destroyed. 2 Peter 2:12. Man, it's hard to quit, but Hosea 4:6, you all know it, and many other passages like that. And it's a joy to be here today, and I do thank you for inviting me. And probably because of him and his father, you know, I went in with his father one time, holding a meeting there, and that was, everyone in our community knew him. We could hardly eat. I thought, oh, I wish I were that way. I could do Bible studies and get out and teach people, and you know, all of that, and he has a good match. I just don't have it that well. But thanks for having me.